The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome to the program. You know, this is going to be a good show today to prepare you to be ready to vote in the upcoming November election. Today, our focus is on ensuring you are registered to vote and what polling places are for you and what the open positions and levy issues are that you need to be informed on. Here to help us is Bonner County Clerk Mike Rosedale and Elections Manager Terry Schultz. You know, I want to add that in the upcoming weeks, we're going to interview the candidates together who are running in opposition, and we'll also be reviewing some of the bond issues in detail that you are going to be making decisions on. So want to make sure that you stay with us in the weeks to come. But today is all about making sure your voice is heard. So we have a lot to cover. Let's get to our first commercial break. We'll be right back with our elections team.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body. Consistently voted the best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed, no charge estimates, and advice is just good customer service. Remember, Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint, Ponderay, and now in Bonner's Ferry.
The $37,000 Can-Am and cash giveaway from Kalispell Casino is happening now. Pick the grand prize of your choice. Win what you want. A new 2025 Can-Am Maverick Turbo and $10,000 cash will both be going out the door Wednesday, September 24th. Play at Kalispell Casino in Cusick, Washington. You could be riding home a brand new UTV or walking away with $10,000 in your pocket. Kalispell Casino and RV Resort, the best entertainment in Ponderay County.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission, $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-291-0376. 800-291-0376. 800-291-0376.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT, KBFI.
Hey Hey, everybody, we are back. Say hello and welcome with me to Bonner County Clerk Mike Rosedale, Elections Manager Terry Schultz. And they've been with us before. It's really a welcome to you guys again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
All right. I want to begin to help hopefully clarify, not confuse, what is not on the ballot, what we are not going to be deciding in November that people might be expecting.
Okay, everybody remember this very clearly, what's not on the election, so that when you go to the polls, you can remember what's not on the ballot. Okay, so nothing partisan is on this ballot. So all the, you know, people with a Democrat or Republican, those are not on this ballot. These are all nonpartisan races. So in November, every November we have cemetery districts available, cities, fire protection
districts.
You're
talking about what is on
ballot.
So what is off the ballot, I'll help you out here.
So off,
no county positions are on
the Those
ballot.
Are all partisan, right. So all the partisan, President of the United States, all those things
all
are
the
always...
state offices.
Those are even years, and that's an easy way to remember it. The even years are the partisan years. The odd years are the nonpartisan years.
Right, which is
also,
very odd in and of itself, because you know what? I think every one of them have an R and a D someplace in their life.
Right.
But they just don't... It's not on the ballot.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So, right. So all the county level on up that have a Republican or Democrat, those are not on this ballot.
They're for next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Right. Also, what's not on the ballot this time are what we already had in May, and those were the auditorium districts, highway districts, hospital boards, library districts. Cemetery districts, cities, fire protection districts. You know what?
Yeah.
This is... Let me hit rewind here.
Yeah.
So we've already had the May election with the highway districts, the hospital boards, the library districts, water and sewer, weather modification, and recreation. All that's left is what we're having in November.
Okay.
And that is the cemetery districts, cities, fire protection districts, recreation, and school districts.
Okay.
And I have to interject one more thing. The reason I started reading the others is because we're right in the middle of doing everybody's taxes that we submit to the State Tax Commission, their levies and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm seeing these names double right now.
Okay. I know this is a busy time for you guys, and that's why I emphasize appreciating your time. So it's the cities, all of our cities, Ponderay, East Hope, Clarkport, they're on the ballot, different positions. And you said fire, if there is one, a levy for a fire district, school, cemetery, sewer, and cities, right? Is that it?
So you can always have a levy. Let me correct one thing you said. The cities can be on there if they have a contested election, if they have more than a number of people for the slots. We have lots of cities that have just the right amount of people, so we don't actually have them on the ballot. And that because the law says actually if we have just enough people, including write-ins for the positions, we shall not put them on the ballot.
Right.
So we can't put them
on
the ballot.
They just ride through. They get elected because nobody's in opposition. Nobody's running against anything.
Right.
Okay, so let's cover the contested city council positions.
Sure.
And how that works. Let's begin with Sandpoint.
Okay. With Sandpoint, we have three available seats, and we have four people running. We have Joe Espero, Torres Joshua, Rick Howarth, and Joe Tate. Those four are vying for three slots.
Okay. The two incumbents are Joel and Richard, and then two challengers. So how does it work out? There are three open positions and four contestants. How do we elect the three?
It'd be the highest three vote getters.
So they're not kind of running, they're all running for the same three positions. Only three win, the top three vote getters.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. So as the audience that's listening in, you are going to be looking forward. I hope, and I think that most of the candidates are so good to me and they agreed to come on. I'll try to have the incumbents on one program and the challengers on another. And then you get to pick three from those four. What about Dover? We've got some challenged positions in Dover, don't we?
Yes, we have city council, the mayor. There's only one person running for mayor, but for Dover, we only have two seats for city council, and we have four people running. We have Kim Bledsoe, Merlin Glass, Jerry Heaps and Hans Steidel.
Okay. So two are incumbents?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're incumbents or not, but we have four people running for two seats.
For two seats. Right. All right. And the only other one that I saw, and I thank you, Terry, for sending me this information, but was Clark Fork. And the city council is, you know, they've got two openings and two people running, I think. But the mayor's position is contested.
Right. We have Tanya Becker and Russell Schenck running. Russell's been the incumbent for a long time as mayor. So those two running for the corporate mayor. We also have a contest in Kootenay, City of Kootenay. And that is for council seat number one. And we have two people for that, and that's Robert Dressel and Danielle Bumgarten Pickett.
Okay, I want to go over for our audience so they understand that here we have open positions, let's say in Dover. Or no, those are contested. So Ponderay, where there's nothing being contested, and so that those candidates are not actually on the ballot because
Correct.
They're the only ones that have filed. It's like they're already elected, right?
Right.
They just haven't been declared elected by you guys in the state.
Yeah, you're going to see a grand total of probably 15 candidates, but we have 60, 70 people that are re-upping at least, if not 100, throughout the county. But there was just one person for one slot match, and so it was cannot be on the ballot.
If it's uncontested, they're elected, and that's why they're not on the ballot. Here's another question. If there are two positions that are open, and there's only one person that runs for a position, what happens? I mean, what happens to that empty position?
That's a good question, and it depends district by district. Every district has their own set of rules. Mm. Generally, what happens is the existing board can appoint somebody to fill the seat until the next available election, which would be 2 years later for that seat.
So they would go out and recruit, ask people, you know, that they are interested in, to if they would consider, or people would step forward and say, well, since nobody ran, you know, I would make myself available.
They can do that frequently. What happens, I think, is that the term of the person who's, that person whose term expired will just get reappointed until they find somebody for, you know, in 2 years.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have to be that person. It could
be
anybody that the council or the board or whoever we're talking about.
They have
about.
To have a quorum, and then the majority would have to pick the board member. Generally, that's the general rule.
Do you think that this is a question that I'm not sure, just popped into my head. Do you think we're trending toward fewer people running, so we've got, you know, kind of empty positions or just the same incumbents are running and everybody's just leaving it to them? Or do we have more people getting politically involved and really wanting to run and be a part of it all?
I don't know. I think it was slowing down, but I think more people are getting involved again.
Okay.
When you see who's running for, like, some of the different advisory boards for the county, some of these different, you have some of these city council for Dover, there's two seats and you have four people running. And
yes.
I think there are a lot of hot issues, whether it's tax or how the HOAs are run or that kind of a thing. I think people are feeling like the only way they can actually affect anything is to be in a situation where they can vote
right.
for it.
Yeah, be involved yourself or be involved in the audience. Well, I consider that to be a good thing.
I do too.
I just think it's really great. This is not an observation thing. This is a participatory sport we're going through here. Okay, so we've talked about the candidates that are on the ballot that are in contested positions that you will have decisions on, ladies and gentlemen. What about the bonds? Would you list out for us the bonds that will be on the on the ballots of some people, because it's only if it's a bond you get to vote on, right?
I can, but we do have more candidates. We only went through the cities. So we do have some for, like, Timberlake Fire.
Yeah,
we
I don't
have a
want
couple
to.
Fires.
Yeah.
I'll go through those quickly. So we have the people running for Timberlake Fire, which is down south. We have Jason Carter, Carrie Curies, Odin Olson, Matt Church, and Jim Morrow in a race. And for West Ponderay Fire for Subdistrict 1, we have Nigel Cave and Dan A. Van Natter. And then the
Before we go to the ballot issues then, what in the heck is going on at Timberlake Fire that we have got 1, 2, 3, we've got 5 people vying for 2 positions?
We have those, so we have 3 people for District 2 and 2 people for District 4. I just ran through them quickly because you wanted to move on to
the ballot. Who are the 5 names? Jason.
So we have Jason, Carrie, Odin. That's for District 2, Sub-District 2.
That's 3.
And then, yeah, those are for 3 for Sub-District 2. And then we have 2 for Sub-District 4, which is Matt Church and Jim Morrow.
So my question is, what's going on at Timberlake Fire? That's a lot of people vying for 2 positions in
That's
District
great.
2.
That's great. What's not great is when you can't find anybody to fill a seat. So that's
this is true.
Great for them.
Okay, we don't
them.
Know what the issue is. Maybe I'll try to find out, you guys, for a future show. All right, so now let's take a look at what the bond issues are that will be on different ballots.
Okay. Where would you like to start?
You can start with East Hope.
East Hope. Okay. East Hope has a $30,000 levy override, permanent levy override, and that is to add $30,000 to their base budget for the purpose of maintaining streets and capital improvements.
Okay. I think the operative word there that the voters need to hone in on is permanent. This once they vote this in, it will be there.
Yes.
So, tax of $20 per $100,000.
Right, $20.89 per $100,000 of taxable value.
Yeah, which I think is well worth it. That's if I were living in East Hope, I'd vote yes.
I can't comment.
I know you
can't. I'm absolutely neutral on all of these.
See, but this is what's fun. I get to comment.
You do.
I get to do that. All right. The next one is Northside Fire District.
Okay. Northside Fire is doing a permanent increase of $684,339, and that is $20.20 per $100,000. That would bring the total levy up to $1.345 million.
And Northside is a big fire district.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge area.
I think if people understand.
You know, all of our fire districts, this isn't for or against fire districts, it's just a statement of fact. They cover an enormous geographical area.
Yeah.
And they're small districts as far as number of people and equipment that cover an impossibly large
huge
area,
geography
right?
Yeah. Area. So different than Sandpoint Fire that's, you know, kind of all housed right here in our city. They can get to places fast.
Right.
These rural districts are really, they're so important, and which we are seeing, not that the fire districts are covering, like, I don't know, there must be a fire district in the Athol area right now that's helping with the wildland at Athol, or do we know? This is an off-the-ball question. But.
So they had one down there at Kerrywood that was sort of decommissioned, I believe, little bit. They didn't, but they're using that for a staging ground. I know they used that for the fire that, I forget what it was called, the one that went up.
Sunset?
Bayview, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that I had Bob Howard, the manager director of emergency management for Bonner County. And it's really so many different entities get called in depending on where the fire is and what it is, whether it's Bureau of Land Management and even fire district support and Bonner County Emergency. And so it's quite a deal.
Right.
But the wildland fires are tough because they're outside of a fire district. All right, there's another bond issue, and we've got time to cover this one before we go on break. The city of Ponderé, what are they asking for?
Okay, this is sort of a redo of what they did last year or 2 years ago. It might have been last year, but it's a 1% basically sales tax.
In addition to the 1% that's already there?
In addition to what's existing right now. I'm not going to comment on what's there or not because I can't tell you that exactly. But it's on sales tax, except not on hotels or motels. And not on receipts that exceed basically $1,000. $1,000 or more, it does not apply to. It applies to purchases under $1,000 in aggregate, and it does not apply to the hotels and motels. But like if you go to any store, it would be a 1% consumption tax on all, everything subject to taxation there. It's for the purpose of lakeshore access for the Ponderé Bay Trail, for the continued development of Field of Dreams, for the endowment fund for Field of Dreams, for streets and stormwater projects, and the administrative costs.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to interview on City of Ponderay because right now there is a 1% tax. You go to Walmart, you don't pay 6%. State of Idaho, you pay 7%. So the question is this just extending that 1% that we already have, or is this adding another percent? So you go into Walmart and it's 2%, so 8% sales tax on your groceries. We don't know, do we?
I can read what's on the ballot. This, their attorneys wrote this, and I
know.
Have,
see, right, it doesn't say.
I'm
in
not
going to
interpret anything.
No,
on the air.
Me either. That's why I will do an interview on this to find out what that's really saying. All right, we are up against our next break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, we have the big bond that we're going to describe for you in a neutral way. It's going to be the wastewater sewer bond for the city of Sandpoint. So stay tuned.
And just like that, another summer at Winter Ridge has come and gone. A whirlwind of new products, new partnerships, and plenty of good food. As we step into the autumnal season, we're reminded how grateful we are for each and every one of you who choose to fill your carts with us. The last few months of 2025 are full of exciting seasonal offerings and fresh surprises, and we cannot wait to share them with you. Thank you, Sandpoint. Winter Ridge, your community choice for local, natural, and delicious. At the corner of Lake and Boyer and Sandpoint.
Selkirk Press, your hometown printer since 1924, from concept to completion in one location. They offer in-house graphic design, printing, copying, laminating, coil binding, mailing services, even pickup and delivery. That means faster service and convenience for you. Any order, large or small, Selkirk Press will make you look good on paper. Selkirk Press, 1714 Industrial Drive by Sandpoint Airport, helping you stand out with custom in-house printing and design.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Day begins the moment you put on your boots. At Boot Barn Work, we know you need work gear that holds strong until you kick them off at the end of the day. No matter the job, Ariat Work Gear performs week after week, year after year, with fit, mobility, and safety features built for the jobs that keep our nation moving. Ariat provides non-stop performance day in and day out. Ariat at Boot Barn Work.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at Wounded Warrior Project.
News Talk 97.1.
You know, I tell you guys this all the time. During the commercials, we've always got it going on in here, trying to figure out what we just said and what we want to say. And I am absolutely going to pay tag money to leave our microphones on during one of those commercials just for fun. No, I don't think that will ever happen. Anyway, my guests today are Mike Rosedale. He's the Bonner County Clerk and the Elections Manager, Terry Schultz. And they're here together because the county is, they are the ones who run every election that runs for us, whether it's city, county, or state. They're large and in charge. They are the ones that count the ballot. They are the ones that are the official, that get audited at the when may get audited after an election is over, and work with the Secretary of State on all things election. Is that correct, Mike?
That's correct.
Okay, we're talking about bonds, and the big one that is up only for the City of Sandpoint voters, nobody else gets to vote on it, which I would like other voters, because that means other people would be paying for this, but it's only for the City of Sandpoint. It's $130 million. So share with us what it's about, please.
So this is a wastewater system and facilities bond. I know Sandpoint's been dealing with that for a while, their master plan, trying to redo that whole system. This would be an attempt to revitalize that, redo that.
And completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
The bond would be for 40 years. It would be an estimated 4.27% interest rate. And the total payment over time would be $257,285,000. Now, this is not a tax. It's not a levy. So this does not go against your property tax. This would be paid from your water bill or your sewer bill.
All right. This is on your bill. It's just in that category called water, sewer, and trash, if you are a city resident, and this is the sewer part. So $130 million. I think the one thing that I will say, I want to say two things. One is I've had the mayor on recently. I am going to be inviting him on now that they have decided that it'll be $130 million. I want to have him back on how the city council did indeed reach that conclusion. But the one thing to for people to know is it says $130 million. That's just the that's the upward limit that they can borrow against.
Yes.
And maybe there would be federal money that will come in or state money come in as months and a couple of years roll by to reduce what ultimately is the total that the city will take. But right now, you know, this is what they need, and this is what help other funding entities have confidence in Sandpoint that they can come alongside and help out. And I'm, of course, talking about other governmental, state, and federal entities. So $130 million sounds like a lot, but it's a big project.
So I think I'm neither for or against this, obviously. I have no dog in this fight. It does seem to me, though, if you have a project, you want to make sure you budget the appropriate amount to finish the project. You don't start building a barn unless you know you have enough money to finish it.
Exactly.
So if that's what it costs to do this project, I think that's the right amount to ask for.
Right. I actually agree with that, and I'm not neutral. But anyway, it's just important. And so the reason that I'm we're talking about this today, because it's going to be on your ballot, but in the weeks to come, my interviews with like city council candidates and with the mayor, we will be asking them to comment on why this is, why they're in favor, why they voted for it, or the challengers, if they're in agreement or not in agreement. So again, I invite you to stay tuned. All right, so since the filing deadline for candidates is now passed, even for write-in candidates, everybody, I'm interested in you sharing with what do candidates have to do to be qualified to even get their name on the ballot? What do they have to be and do?
Yeah, great question. So it depends on the district, first of all. You have to be a registered voter, first of all, in that district. So you can't run for the City of Hope. You would have to run for something in the City of Sandpoint. You have to either get signatures or pay a $40 fee. Some of the districts you have to be within the sub-district, like fire commissioners have to be within their particular zone to run. It's not at large. Some districts are at large, so it depends on which district that is. You would claim your home exemption to prove where you live, to prove that you live there as opposed to someplace else. Some people had a problem with that.
Yes, I remember that.
The people that get the signatures, you have to have those certified notarized. The affidavit sworn by the collector, and then have that notarized by a public notary public.
Did you say they can pay money or get signatures?
The cities can pay the money. Everybody else has to get signatures.
Oh, okay. Right. So city candidates can pay to get on.
Right.
Why is that concerning me? But anyway, I have to think about that. That's the way. That's the
that's
rule.
That's the way it is.
That's the rule. That's right. And in other cities, it's they get signatures.
The other districts are signatures, right?
Do they have to have a treasurer declared for their campaign or?
I don't think most of these do. Since if they're not going to raise money, most of them aren't going to be campaigning. Most of them aren't going to be running. And to actually, you'd even file with the Sunshine Law as far as ads and things, you have to cross the $500 barrier, and most people aren't going to even come close to that.
Okay. Let's turn our attention to the voters out there and make sure that they are all registered and ready to vote. So what does it take? Registration is still open for voters.
Yes.
What does it take to be a registered voter in Bonner County or in the state of Idaho?
Well, there are 10 things you have to fill out on it off the top of my head. So you have to be a resident in the city of state of Idaho. You have to be a resident in Bonner County. And depending upon where you're voting, you have to be a resident there. But to vote, you have to have that. You have to have a valid Idaho driver's license or a tribal card or a U.S. passport or a U.S. weapons Idaho weapons permit. With ID, with your photo on it. So you have to have an ID with your photo on it. If you have something that doesn't have your physical address, such as a U.S. passport, mm-hmm. it would have your name and your face, but not necessarily your physical address. You also have to prove that. And you would have to prove that by, it would have to be a proof of insurance. It would be a mortgage, lease, or rental agreement. A property tax assessment, bill of receipt, a utility bill. You cannot use a cell phone bill because a lot of parents pay cell phones. You can, yeah. Anybody can
you
be on the phone.
You can have an area yep. code in Georgia.
A bank or credit card statement, your paycheck, pay stub, a intake document to a care facility, and that is an enrollment letter from an Idaho high school or university, a letter from a social services agency.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. A letter. Who said it was okay to have a letter?
So
somebody
basically,
telling
what it is,
you that, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you have to have an Idaho driver's license or passport.
Well, a driver's license
right.
does it all.
It does
it's
it all.
An Idaho photo.
It can't be another state's driver's license.
No.
It has to be Idaho.
Now, that's a new rule, by the way.
It's about a year old now.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's got to be Idaho. It'll have your name, your address, and your photo, and you're good to go. If you
right.
don't have that, the passport, then you need something else that supports your address that you actually live here and pay.
You have utilities. To have one of those five forms of ID. You have to have the driver's license, Idaho ID, passport, tribal ID card, or concealed weapons permit.
Right.
Some of those, such as the passport, doesn't have your address. If that's the case, then you must have one of the ones listed that I
right,
read to
that
you.
It shows your address.
No wiggle room.
Yeah. And there shouldn't be any wiggle room. All right, so let's all make sure we're registered. What about the absentee ballot? We go over this every time, and I'm telling you, Mike, there are so many people say, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you talked about absentee ballots because I forgot to apply this year.
Right.
I love it that it's every year you have to reapply.
Every year about mid-January, the Secretary of State comes out with their form, and you can do it online or get the paper version on our website or come in and just do it at our office.
Yeah, super easy online.
Right. Fill that out, sign it, and if you do it online, we match that against the signature on your driver's license that we have it linked to. But when we see that, we check the signature on the request for the absentee ballot, and then we process it when we get them ready to go, and we send you the exact one that applies to you. When we get it back, we check your signature again to make sure you're the one that signed it. Every year we get absentee ballots back with signatures we cannot validate, and we don't throw them away.
No.
We put them in a pile, and they never, ever get opened. They never, ever get counted.
They don't get counted.
Nope, they
yeah.
live a lonely existence the rest of their lives
you know,
in the dark.
Lost ballots.
That's right.
Not lost, but...
That's right. Sequestered.
Illegal.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that it's an easy process on one hand, but it's a very complete process. And we were just talking about wiggle room. There is no wiggle room.
No.
You are who you are, and you are what you say you are, and your signature is, or you are not going to get an absentee ballot in Idaho, and all that will match when that ballot comes back in.
Right.
Yeah, I love it. And that's why we have such good audits around here, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good.
Idaho in particular.
We do.
We have just clean, audited, dependable elections.
Yes.
No mail-in ballots. Your absentee ballot is true, gets mailed in, but it's not a mail-in ballot. Right. Per se.
Right. You have to request it. Mail-in ballots, states are where they mail all the registered voters' ballots, period.
Over and over and over again, dead, alive, or to your surviving dog. It's just crazy.
I think those states' laws say you're not supposed to do that, but it happens.
I know, of course.
So we understand.
It happens because it can happen, but it can't happen here because
right.
we don't do that.
So that's a good point, topic. So like dead people, we have roles. Every once in a while we have somebody saying, well, here's some people that shouldn't be on the rolls, and we say thank you. And so we get letters from the funeral homes.
Mm-hmm.
We get updates from the Secretary of State. We get updates from all over on people that have passed away, people that have moved, and all that. It's not an exact science, but it's a pretty good science.
Oh, yeah, it's very high.
Right.
Correct.
And after the fact, we've had people after an election that had died that we didn't know about or had moved away, but we have never, ever yet come across one of those people having voted illegally. So that's not been an issue in Bonner County.
And I like that the legislature closed the loophole on an out-of-state driver's license. That, no, it's got to be an Idaho driver. If you're going to use that for voting in Idaho, then it needs to be an Idaho driver's license.
It sort of shows in a way you're committed to Idaho.
Yeah.
That you get your license.
Yeah,
that you're not
so you get to vote here. You're not just like traveling through thinking you want to vote.
You're planting here.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, we are up against that last break. We're going to take it right now, so stay with us.
Hey, Bulldog fans, this is Toby McLaughlin.
And Lisa Moline.
SHS grads and partners at Sandpoint Law. We are a full-service law firm providing legal services in the areas of civil litigation, real estate, probate, wills and trusts, business formation, contracts, employment, and personal injury.
At Sandpoint Law, we carefully listen to our clients and then look for cost-effective, practical solutions that meet their long-term objectives.
We are your hometown law firm, and we are proud to sponsor Bulldog Football Radio.
Go Bulldogs!
Quality. No one's ever used that word before, have they? It's one of those easy-to-use, tougher-to-prove kind of words. Well, let Super One Foods show you how we define quality. Just take the salad test. Go to the produce department at Super One Foods. Get what you need to make the salad of your dreams. Then go home, slice, chop, toss, dress, eat, and enjoy. It's when you taste that Super One salad that you'll know you've experienced quality. At Super One Foods, our fruits and vegetables are big, plump, juicy, crunchy. Pick your favorite adjective, it probably fits. The one that really matters, though, is fresh. Always count on that. As for selection, incredible. And not limited by the changing of the growing seasons. Super One just keeps setting out the biggest and best fruits and vegetables for you all year long. Makes for one heck of a salad test. You already know Super One for low prices, but produce is all about quality first. Selection and low prices, they just happen to come along for the ride. Super One Foods, where low prices are just the beginning.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope is now open 7 days a week from 12 to 8. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. Visit pearlsonthelake.com to reserve your table today.
Get ready, Coeur d'Alene. It's time to be inspired. The 2025 Parade of Homes, proudly presented by the North Idaho Building Contractors Association, is back and more breathtaking than ever. Join us for two exciting weekends, September 13th and 14th, then again September 19th, 20th, and 21st. Explore 13 stunning homes crafted by the region's premier builders, featuring the latest in modern design, timeless elegance, smart home technology, and exceptional craftsmanship. Whether you're dreaming, designing, or just love seeing beautiful spaces, this is your chance to walk through real homes filled with real inspiration. Meet local experts, discover design ideas, and imagine the possibilities for your next home project or your forever home. Tickets on sale now at poh.nibca.com. Get yours early and don't miss out. This year's Parade of Homes is proudly sponsored by Silver Ridge Construction, Spokane Teachers Credit Union, Assure Painting, Idaho Central Credit Union, and Gold Star Construction.
News Talk 97.1.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Thank you so much for staying with us, because we have a great program coming your way. Information you can use and you can share. We're talking with Mike Rosedale. He is the Bonner County Clerk, and the Elections Manager, Terry Schultz, the real brains of the operation here, you guys. So in talking about all these issues and the different cities that do have contested positions and bonds and levies that are out there, there are a whole bunch of voting districts, I guess I'll call them.
Precincts.
Precincts. They don't have any election going on. These people
right.
are not getting to vote about anything.
I'm glad we get to talk about that before the show's over, because it's important. Some of you out there will not be able to vote because there's nothing for you to vote on. If you live somewhere other than Sandpoint, you can't vote in the city of Sandpoint's issues. Your particular locale has nothing to vote on. These precincts that do not have anything to vote on are Algoma.
It's a long list.
It's a long list. There's about 11 or 12 of them. Algoma, Clagstone, Gamlin. Laclede, we're making a mail-only. We only have 13 voters there that overlap into a sub-district that has anything to vote on.
So they get their own
So they're going to get the ballots mailed to them.
Oh, okay.
So, and then Lamb Creek, Priest Lake, Sagal, Southside, Spirit Valley, Westmond, and Renko. They have nothing to vote on.
So
don't go to the polls on Election Day. Stay home, have a latte for the breakfast. Enjoy the morning.
I know. I'm trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, okay, good. You guys don't have an election. Everything's settled in your world. Everything is, you know, same old, same old. Or I'm thinking, what in the heck is not going on there that they don't have? They don't have something right. going on they get to vote on.
Right. So they probably do have stuff going on, but they had just enough candidates to fill those slots. So they have.
So they're just
they're parts of different cities and, you know, different fire districts, but they have just enough people to fill those slots. So there was a lot going on, but it ended up to work out just right.
They've just taken care of it without an election.
Exactly.
So they're kind of in a sweet spot.
They are.
I'm still going to have to think about it, though.
They've gained a day of freedom.
They've gained a day of freedom. No stress. They don't have to stay up till midnight to find out who won. It's all good in those districts. All right. Praise God for them. I asked on the break, and I'm wondering if you can venture a guess. Not really going to know.
Okay.
Let me put the question out, and then we can come back to it in a future show.
Sure.
I'm kind of interested in the average breakdown of percentages for absentee ballots, for early ballots, and for in-person ballots on the day of an election. How does that break out on some of our elections?
I would say we have probably 10% early votes. I would say we have about 25% maybe absentees at the max, and then the rest would be election day in-person voting.
So 65%, you know, on average, looking at just
the vast majority. There was only one time when that didn't happen. That was in COVID. In May of COVID, when we had to do it by mail. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Right. It was just like dreadful.
Yep.
Yeah. It was all bad.
That whole year was bad. That was
multiple years were bad. Okay, another question, and I think every year I ask, you don't really need more volunteers. You have so many dedicated, faithful, trained volunteers. But I think people need to hear that these people that are in their polling places that are having elections, they're trained.
They
know what they're doing. So share that with our audience.
They do. They have to come to at least one training a year. And they do that. The chief judge is somebody that's been there with experience multiple times. Normally the assistant chief has been there quite often. In fact, frequently teams have been together for a while. So mm-hmm. they have a lot of experience. If you want to volunteer, you can sign up. I don't think we'll have room for you or need you this time, because we have a lot of current poll workers that are on our rosters, trained people that don't have an election that day, as I read the whole list of those
right.
to you. But you can sign up. If you go to bonnercountyid.gov and look under the elections tab, there's a place where you can say, I want to be a volunteer.
Okay, maybe
you can sign that up.
Get called up in a future
right.
need. Also, repeat that website a couple of times for all the information, because we're not going to get to everything today about
sure.
the, you know, how open is the window for registration, when does early voting start?
Bonner County, and then the letters ID for Idaho. So bonnercountyid.gov. And then you would select the elections page. On our elections page, we have all the dates. We have all that's required to register to vote. What's required if you are registered, you can, you know, go in with that ID. The different things on the ballot, the different things on your ballot specifically. That's not up yet. We're still building the ballot, but in next week, that should be up. And all the different details you would want to find out. Even requesting a link to request an absentee ballot will be on that page.
Oh, okay. And that's a link to the Secretary of State.
Right.
And that's very slick, but it's time to get that done, isn't it?
It is. If you're going to request an absentee ballot, you need to do it by October 24th, but don't wait till October 24th.
Don't wait.
And here's why. We get it. We will, depending upon, we send out absentee ballots about 3 times a week. If we get that just after we sent out a batch, we're going to wait a whole nother day only because we have other things we're doing at the same time. Then we're going to send it out. That's 2 days. Then we have to go through the mail. If it falls on a weekend, then you're waiting the weekend. And if anything happens with the mail, anyway, things can go wrong.
If anything happens with your submission,
that's right.
Maybe you left something blank.
Just request it right now.
Yeah.
Request it right now. You'll be in the batch that gets mailed out September 25th. And if you know what you want to vote for, everybody won't have more than 2 things probably to vote on their ballot. Not a whole lot of things.
They have to wait for my shows.
That's right.
They do have to wait
for
that.
But when you get the ballot, if you know what you're going to vote for and you're sure, just do it. Vote.
Yeah.
Put it back in the envelope. Sign the affidavit envelope and get it back to us.
Listen to my shows first. Don't vote because there's a yard sign. Yep. That's my best election advice, everybody.
Right.
So yeah, go bonnercountyid.gov. There's no dot between Bonner County and ID. There's nothing going on except bonnercountyid.gov, and then go to elections, and you can get everything you need.
Yes.
And you can register until when?
The pre-registration deadline is October 24th.
So,
don't wait to do that,
In
case you wrong information
exactly.
If you're coming to our office, don't wait. It won't let you register online. If you register online, it's going to do what's called a red hava flag.
Go to the office.
You're going to have to still bring your ID. To perfect your registration because they can't see your ID. They have data on you and they can synchronize some of the stuff, but they still want to proof out that final step. So if you can come to the office, come to our office.
Yeah, so for absentee ballot registration, just do it now. Just do it now. It's Tuesday. You've got time to do it today. Wednesday, tomorrow, for sure.
One thing we didn't talk about, election day is November 4th. Make sure you vote on November 4th, if you're one of the people to get to vote, and it's going to be open.
Who's not? If somebody shows up, on Wednesday the 5th, surely that doesn't happen in Bonner County. We are a lot better than that.
We're open from 8 to 8, and if you have an absentee ballot, you have to get it into a precinct by 8 o'clock on that election day, or the administration building. We have an absentee drop box. Bolted to the ground, get it in there by 8 o'clock, because after 8 o'clock, we check the final batch at 8 o'clock.
Party's over.
And then people may still drop them off, but we don't ever look at them because it's too late.
The party is over.
The party is over.
You have missed it.
That's right.
Yeah. The pumpkin has, it's the glass thing turned to a pumpkin or something like
that. This is your deal.
That's my metaphor. I want to just praise you guys because you have been, it's kind of a random selection. So every now and then, they come in and they audit our elections in different, and it's happened here in Bonner County. You guys in most of the precincts or the counties in Idaho have the cleanest, best audited elections any place in America. Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you. Good job.
All right, everybody, that's the program for today. Mike Rosedale, Terry Schultz, we're here to help us with the details. Next week, we will talk again with Sean Morgan, who's an American history student and teacher focused on the founding years of America and our Constitution. September is the month we celebrate our Constitution, and that's our topic next week. Come on, get on board with America 250. I'm all about that this year. Teach your kids, your grandkids, and yourselves well about this. this nation and don't take her or our liberties for granted. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. So God bless America. Until next week, this is Barbara reminding you to slow down on the roads and on the water and love each other. God bless you all.